Mark 1, verse 16, let's read together.
Come on.
As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and they followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in the boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
Amen.
Now listen, we're here today because of Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus says in Philippians 2, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a man.
Yep.
He came down to the earth to set for us an example of how we ought to live.
Right.
Bottom line, he saw Satan was leading the whole world astray.
Yep.
And he said, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to die on the cross for them.
Come on.
But I'm also going to live for them. And I'm going to set them an example of how they ought to live.
Amen.
And what his goal was to come into this world that Satan had led astray and to grab men and women out of the world.
Yep.
To stop thinking the way they were thinking.
Yep.
And to learn to have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And the mind of God.
Yep.
And here's what I think happened. Jesus is down. He's about to start his ministry. And he looks out there and he sees these guys in a boat. Fishermen. And he goes, well, look at that. Here these guys are throwing this net into the water and pulling fish out of the water and up into their boat. Doggone it. That's exactly what I'm on earth to do.
Come on. There you go.
I've come down here so I can catch men and pull them out of that ocean they're in,
right.
Yep.
On into the boat that is the kingdom.
Yep.
Amen?
Come on.
And he goes, okay, well, that makes sense. He says, hey, you, fishermen, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.
Yep.
Now, here's what I think they thought. Okay. Huh. Well, we know what it means to fish. That's what we are. We take our net, we put it down in the water, and we pull up fish. Now, he wants us to pull up men. Okay.
Come on.
See, they knew what it meant to fish for fish.
That's right.
And Jesus was calling them to apply those things to what it meant to fish for men.
Yep.
Title lesson today.
Come on.
Fishers of men must go fishing.
Come on. Come on.
You ready to go fishing today?
Come on.
Listen. Fishermen have got to go fishing or they're not going to catch any fish. I know I'm dropping some deep science on you today. That's about as simple as it gets. You don't go fishing, you don't catch any fish. If you're a professional fisherman, you've got to go fishing.
Come on.
According to Jesus, fishing for men, if you're a fisher of men, you've got to go fishing.
That's right.
And if we're going to be like Jesus, that's what he did. That's why he came to earth. So, why do fishermen catch fish?
Come on.
To eat?
Yeah.
Or to sell to somebody else so they can eat. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So, before you can eat them, number one, catch them. Point number one is catch them. I don't know about you. How many of you have ever caught a fish in your life? Raise your hand. All right. Do you remember the first fish you ever caught? I do. I was at summer camp fishing in some stagnant pool of water with a stick with a string on it and a hook and a worm. No top-notch professional equipment. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm just sitting there. And I'm getting bored. But then, all of a sudden, I caught me a fish. I went, oh my goodness! I had fish on the line, it's like, what in the, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those of you that have caught one. Now, yesterday, we went down to Madison, Wisconsin, and we had a service down there with the faithful sold-out disciples of Madison, Milwaukee.
Right.
And Joe, which is Barb's dad, was talking about a fishing trip he took. About 20 years ago, he was out fishing for some big fish. Bottom line, he caught a swordfish. 18, 20 feet? Wow. After about 30 minutes, he said, of a struggle, and three blisters later, he had a swordfish in the boat. You know how impressive it was? So impressive, he still got it in the attic to this day. You know what I mean? When you catch a fish, what happens? Big smile.
Yep.
Everybody wanted to share their fish stories yesterday.
Yep.
Roger goes, about a year or so ago, we went down and we chartered a big boat to go out fishing. Now, when I shared this morning with the teachers beforehand, his son Joel was there. He goes, oh, yeah, it was 49 inches, 43 pounds. This big smile. When you catch a big fish, guess what? It's the same when a fisher of men catches a man.
That's right.
When a fisher of woman catches a woman, man, it's awesome. You know, that's what we're here to do.
That's right.
In the church here, we believe if we're going to be like Jesus, we're not just here to have a nice little group where we hug up on each other, but we're here to help a hurting world.
That's right.
So Greg... Greg heads off to work the other morning, and he calls me before he even gets to work. He says, Chris, I hope I'm not waking the kids up, but I had to call you. I got on the train, and there was a guy sitting there reading his Bible.
Come on.
Now, when you love God and you see somebody reading their Bible on the train, what do you think? I'm going to sit by that one. Right? And he did. And he started talking to him. He said, I moved out here to start a church. Guy was so impressed. Then he said, you and me ought to go out and preach the word sometime. Called me back later in the day. The guy called up and said, what are you guys doing tonight? Greg was happy.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that how it is?
Yep.
When you fish and you catch a man. And I believe that's how God feels. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? When the shepherd leaves the 99 sheep in the open country.
Right.
And he heads off looking for the one sheep that's lost.
Right.
And he finds it, puts it on his shoulders, brings it back. What does the Bible say? There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous that don't need to. I'm yet to meet the 99 righteous that don't need to. But I understand heaven rejoices when just one sinner repents.
Right.
We got anybody here today needs to repent?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, hello?
Because
heaven is waiting to rejoice when one repents.
Amen.
If we're going to fish for men, we got to be like Jesus. How did Jesus catch fish? Right here. In this passage, it says, without delay, he called them.
Yep.
Without delay.
That's right.
A professional fisherman, seeing an opportunity to catch something, are they going to delay?
No.
Aha, she says no in the back row. Come on. No, when a professional fisherman sees an opportunity, bam, they're on it.
Yep.
So how should we fish for men? What does the Bible say? Making the most of every opportunity.
That's right.
You want to be a fisher of men? Be ready and make the most of that opportunity. Jesus called them without delay. And what is the Bible say here? Without delay, they followed him.
Yep.
When people love God and they want to be caught by God, they're going to follow immediately.
Right.
And it even says here, James and John left their father in the boat. And they followed Jesus. Now, I've always heard people say, you know, they left their dad in the boat. He must have been angry. He must have been upset. Sons, you're going to leave me here with the hired men and follow Jesus? What are you doing? Bible doesn't say that. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe Zebedee had taught his kids about God all their life.
Yeah.
And when he saw Jesus call them, he said, "Go with him, sons."
Yep.
Who knows what happened?
Come on.
All we know is they followed immediately because he called them. And you know what? When we're out there fishing for men, it's not us calling people.
Right.
It's God.
Right.
You know, these days we use a fishing pole. Right? We cast the line out where we see a little water wiggling. We put a hook on it, a little bait on there. And then when the fish grabs it, right?
Yep.
We set the hook.
Set the hook.
Guess what we are, guys?
Come on.
We're the hook. God is dangling us in the waters of the world. And God's going to use you to hook that man.
Yep.
And to hook that woman. Let me ask you a question. How sad would it be if this fella at college hadn't hooked Roger? Aren't you glad somebody fished for him? Because then he wouldn't have fished for Dave. Roger wouldn't have been caught and Dave wouldn't have been caught. Except somebody looked at Roger and said, "I'm going to hook him on the Lord." That was his purpose. Remember what he said earlier? The RA said, "Sorry, bud, you're rooming with a cult member." He wasn't a cult member. He was a fisher of men.
That's right.
But to the world, that is strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to those of us that love God, it's what we live for.
That's right.
And so then Roger went out and hooked Dave.
Come on.
And what would have happened? We wouldn't see our beautiful sister Jessica back there.
Come on.
Right? Except Dave just hooked her. On the Lord, amen?
Yep.
See, in the world, we're trying to hook men and women for ourselves. Not in the kingdom.
Right.
You hook them on the Lord, and the Lord will hook you right up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Jesus called without delay. How else did Jesus fish for men? Jesus said, "I will make you a fisher of men." I want you to look over with me at another scripture in Matthew chapter 28.
Come on.
Matthew 28. Maybe you need to be hooked today. Maybe you've been nibbling at the bait the Lord has thrown out there. But maybe you're not hooked yet. Today, I hope you get hooked.
Come on.
I hope you decide to hop in the net and get in the boat. But there's something that's got to happen before that will ever take place. Matthew 28, verse 18. What we just looked at, Mark 1, were some of his first words at the beginning of his public ministry.
Yep.
Now what we're going to look at, Matthew 28, were some of his last words before he ascended back into heaven.
Mm.
Now what do you think when you hear someone's last words? Very important. It sums up their life. Let's read what Jesus said.
Come
on. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Amen?
Yep. Come on.
Is that the end?
No.
No. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's the end.
Oh.
And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. What were Jesus' first words? "I'm going to make you fishers of men." What were his last words? "Go catch men and baptize them."
Right.
His mission never changed.
That's right.
You know, got to be humbled as people.
Yeah.
When we look at our lives and we state what our mission is, but then we look at how we live.
Yeah. Preach it.
I've decided I'm hooked on God. I'm caught. And I'm going to fish for men the rest of my life. But this week, I need a good job. So that's what I'm focused on. And next week, I need to get a house. That's what I'm focused on. And next week, I need to give me a man or a woman to get on living with me in my house, right?
Come on.
Oh, I got a fish for men again.
Hey, Jeff, bro.
That's not Christ. Christ is, okay, maybe I got to go do something else, but I'm fishing for men.
Yep.
Maybe I got to go here and heal Peter's mother-in-law, but I'm fishing.
Yeah.
I'm going to fish her too. Yeah. Maybe I got to go do something over here, make a delivery, but I'm fishing. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
And we're humbled at how quickly we lose focus of our purpose in life. How did Jesus fish for men? He said, you got to teach them to obey.
Amen.
You can't catch a man or a woman and get them hooked on God unless you teach them to obey God.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus said, I've taught you to obey. Now you go teach them to obey everything I've commanded you.
Yeah.
And then they'll teach someone else to obey God.
Come on.
If you're going to fish for men, it's not just about getting them to attend a church service.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you'll never be caught if you're just an attender.
Right.
It's about obeying God.
Yeah.
And He uses us, and He, as soon as you decide, I'm going to obey God, He wants to use you to teach someone else to obey Him.
Amen.
There's something else Jesus does in order to help people understand it. How did Jesus fish for those fishermen in Mark 1?
Come on, tell us.
He connected with them. He related to them. He took what He was calling them to do and He related it to something that they totally understood. Are you guys with me?
Yep. Come on.
They knew what it meant to fish for fish.
That's right.
And so He said, now you got to do that with men.
Yep.
I wasn't a fisherman. If someone would have tried to teach me that way, I wouldn't have understood. I moved right after high school from a small Texas town to Manhattan, New York City, to study theater.
Mm.
And you know what? When someone called me and caught me and taught me to obey God, it was through a performing arts ministry in New York City. A bunch of actors, singers, dancers, musicians that had decided to give everything to God.
Yep.
And so they knew how to catch another actor. They said, you know how you moved to New York City to become an actor? You gave up so much to live in a little closet of a room.
Yeah, come on.
In a pretty crummy place. Just so you can make it in the theater. See, if you're going to try to make it in the theater in New York, it's so competitive. You got to eat it, sleep it, drink it, breathe it. They said, you know what that means, right? That's what it means to seek something with all your heart.
Yeah.
Well, Psalm 119 says, blessed are those who seek the Lord with all their heart.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I knew what it meant to be a disciple. I was a disciple of the theater. I did anything to learn, imitate, and be a part of it. So when I set that on straight in my mind, and I decided to approach God that way, I was on the right track.
Come on.
I was caught. You guys with me?
Come on.
Once you catch a fish, then what do you do with it? This is an intense one, guys. You can't just catch it and then eat it. Unless you're that dude from Lord of the Rings. You know, Gollum. A man with those yellow... Anyway. No, you got to do a few other things to it. Point number two, cut them. Now I have with me a little knife here. See that? This is a double-edged sword all the way from Africa. Now, you catch a fish and then you got to cut it. Now what do you really do when you cut it?
Kill it.
You kill it. Oh, wait a minute. What happened to this sermon? This is getting intense. But hold on, guys. Because fishermen would understand this.
Yeah.
You catch them, then you got to cut them. You know, Joel told me, when they got that big fish in the boat, that 40...
Nine.
Yeah,
49.
What was it, pound fish? 49 inch, 43 pounds. How'd they kill it? They cut it right here and let it bleed out.
Oh, no.
And I'm sorry, honey, but until, you know, you love how to eat that fish, it tastes good. That fish did have to die for you to eat it. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4 verse 12. It says here, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And that includes the one I just showed you.
Yeah.
It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account.
Wow.
Once you catch a man or you catch a woman, you got to cut them. And you got to cut them with the Word.
Yep.
And that's exactly what the Scriptures do. This is an example of a Bible that's closed.
Come on.
Not too scary.
No.
But then you say, hey, it was great to have you out of church today. I'd like to study the Bible with you. You want to study the Bible? Awesome! Open to Hebrews 4. There's an open Bible right there.
Yeah.
Unsheathed. A double-edged sword.
Yeah.
And what does the Bible say you do with it? The Bible says it cuts to the heart.
Right.
So what you're really doing is you're taking that Bible out and applying it to the heart.
Yeah.
How you like that? Yeah. So, Roger, I'd like to study the Bible with you.
Maybe tomorrow.
I'd like to talk to you about Hebrews 4. See that?
Love you, bro.
Isn't that sense? Look at Isaiah chapter 66.
Come on.
Isaiah 66.
Come on.
In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. In the second half of the verse, it says, this is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
That is who God esteems.
Yep.
Men and women who are humble, contrite,
yep,
and tremble at the word.
Amen.
You don't tremble at this, do you? You don't tremble at this. And people, although the Bible is the best-selling book anywhere, it stays closed.
Yeah.
And we don't tremble at it. But when you open up the Word of God, you begin to tremble at the Word. Because
yeah,
it is a sword. It is a sword that penetrates right down to the heart.
Yep.
You know, I'll never forget when you study the Bible with someone and you start opening the Scriptures up to cut them. Right? Because the Bible cuts to the heart. And you let them know there's nothing in your life that's going to be hidden at the end.
Right.
Nothing uncovered. Nothing covered. Everything will be uncovered and laid bare before God at the end. That cuts to the heart.
Yep.
That's scary. But you know what? We need to tremble. And we don't usually think when we hear that about all the good things. I'm sure there's plenty of good things that could be uncovered and we'd be happy about. Roger's almost in tears thinking about that first night in college when God used that cult member to save his soul. You see him welling up with tears. That's going to be on there, Roger. But also on there is going to be that stuff that we just wish would have never happened in our life.
Come on. That's right.
Stuff that we did that we're... Man, why did I do that?
Right.
the Bible can get in there and cut us now. And help us start to prepare right now for that final day when we face our Maker.
Come on.
You know, the Bible cuts. Look at Acts chapter 2.
Come on.
Acts chapter 2. Peter stands up and he preaches that incredible message all about the cross. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter says to all nations, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ."
Yep.
See, God took Jesus and He made Him the Lord of all. Jesus humbled Himself to death, Philippians chapter 2, even death on a cross. But God exalted Him as the name above all names.
Yep.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord.
That's right.
He raised Him up. But here, in order for people to understand that, Peter had to cut them to the heart.
Yep.
He said, "This Jesus that you crucified." The good news of the gospel starts with bad news. That Jesus died on the cross. And that our sin nailed Him to it.
Yep.
Our sin. And when you understand that, and you connect that to your personal sin, that if you're the only one who ever lived, Christ would have died for you.
Yep. Come on.
The punishment that brings us peace was upon Him. Read on. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. You've got to catch them, but then they're not saved yet. You've got to cut them.
Yep. Yep.
Far too many people, they get taught false doctrine.
Yep.
They get caught. Someone tells them, "You love God? Great. Accept Him into your heart as Lord and Savior." They skip right past the cutting.
Come on, bro.
Like Tamara shared earlier. She went and got baptized. But no one ever taught her about her sin or that Jesus was Lord.
Yep.
Yep. It's a quick salvation. That's like just grab a fish and throw it on the fire for a couple minutes and start eating eyeball first. That's not going to work.
Right.
They were cut to the heart. And what did they say? They said to Peter and the other apostles. It wasn't just Peter God was using that day.
That's right.
Brothers, what shall we do?
Yeah.
They were cut. And they asked, "What do we need to do?" Point number three. You got to clean them.
Come on.
Once you catch them, and once you cut them, you got to clean them. Now, I heard a fun story yesterday about Carmen Shelbrack.
Oh.
She caught a fish once, and a gentleman asked her, he said, "Would you like me to clean that for you?" And poor thing, she thought he meant, like, you know, wash it up a little bit or whatever. She said, "Yeah, would you please?" He said, "Okay." He put it down. Cut the head right off. And Carmen's like, "Ah!" But fishermen understand. You gotta cut it, then you start to clean it.
Yeah, come on.
This is a nasty part of it. We all like eating it when it's done. But who wants to clean it? Nobody wants to clean it except Roger Parlow.
Yeah.
Roger said yesterday, he said, "You know what? I actually like this part." And everybody, the girls are like, "Ugh, disgusting." Later, he told me why in the car on the way home. You know why he likes to clean it? He said when you clean the fish, you find out what was in its stomach. But he said, you know what's good about that? You find out what's in their stomach, and you know what to use for bait. You know what they like to eat. Jay's all fired up over here. Yeah! somebody up.
Come on.
They said, brothers, what do we do? Let's read.
Come on.
Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Some of you.
No.
Every one of you. Because every one of your sin put Jesus on the cross. So every one of you needs to repent.
Come on.
And be baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The forgiveness of your sins.
There you go.
Clean them. You want to clean them?
Come on.
You just show them the Word of God. You show them what God says they need to do. And God will clean them right up.
Yes.
He'll wipe our sins away.
Amen.
He'll forgive us. That's why Jesus died. That's the good news of the gospel. But before you can appreciate the good news of being cleaned, you got to admit just how dirty and stinky and what kind of messed up stuff is in our stomach. You with me?
Yeah.
And see, when you study sin with a person, and you study sin, you don't find out what's in there to find out what you need to do to catch them. You find out what's in there to know this is what the devil used to catch him.
Yep.
And this is what he's probably going to use down the road to get him back.
Yeah. There you go.
So you clean them, but you realize cleaning's going to have to keep happening.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cleaning's not a one-shot deal. Now, we're forgiven once for all.
Yeah.
But it's real easy to get dirty again. You know how to battle that? Take a look over at Matthew chapter 3.
Come on.
Matthew chapter 3. There's a principle here that allows us to have that continual cleaning, that continual washing with the Word. And it's in verse 8. It says here, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. That's it. It's that simple. How do we get clean? What did Peter teach us in Acts 2? You need to repent.
Yep.
What does repent mean? You need to change.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
James 5 says confess your sins to one another.
Yeah.
So we can pray for each other. So we can be healed.
Yeah.
You got to catch them, but then you got to cut them, and then you got to clean them.
Yeah.
And once someone repents of their sin, and they get baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Amen. They're in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's right.
But then the devil is going to try to use something else as bait to catch them back out.
Yeah.
And so there's one more thing that we've got to do. Number 4. You got to cook them.
Come on. Come on.
All right. I got some scared people here now.
Come on.
Like, I'm with you with the analogy. You got to catch fish. You got to catch a man. You got to cut a fish. Okay, you got to cut up a man or a woman. Then you got to clean a fish. Okay. You got to clean a man or a woman. But, what is this cooking stuff? This is a cult after all. It's a cannibalistic cult. The minister's going to eat us. No, don't worry. Let me tell you about cooking.
Come on.
Cooking is a transformation that happens. You take something from inedible to edible.
That's right.
It's a transformation. Right?
Yeah.
Now, let me just say, you can break from the analogy if you like sushi.
Oh, yeah.
I do love sushi. Sashimi is one of my favorite foods. I can eat it breakfast, lunch, dinner, or midnight snack. So if you ever see me down and discouraged, and you want to lift my spirit, then bring the Bible and let's study and pray while we're eating some sushi, amen? But in the analogy today, we got to cook it. You don't want to catch a fish, catch a bass, you know, or catch a deep sea bass right out of water, cut it, clean it, and just eat it right there. Right, you're going to cook it up. Now, you know what it requires to cook? You need heat.
Oh, yeah.
You need fire to cook up that fish. Without the heat of Christian relationships,
come on,
you'll never, ever be a transformed man or a transformed woman.
Yeah. Come on.
Gemma said it again and again. She said, you know, I kept getting into trouble because I didn't have relationships.
Yep.
Now let's go to Proverbs 27. Verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
Yep.
We need each other, guys.
Yep.
We need each other in our lives or we're going to get dull. We're going to get dull spiritually. And so we need each other in our relationship to keep us sharp spiritually.
Right.
To keep us on the right track.
Yep.
In the same way, no one's just going to wake up and be transformed. And go from someone who's lost to someone who's saved. Not unless some other man or woman fishes for them. Catches them, cuts them, cleans them up. And then that cooking is so important.
Yep.
And no, it's my conviction that none of us are done yet. I don't see any of us, and that includes myself, that are well out, just like Jesus. You with me?
Yeah.
And so we're not done. We need to keep cooking.
Yeah.
You with me?
Come on.
Proverbs 20.
All right.
7. Sorry. I keep wanting to go to 20. Verse 6.
Okay.
I love this. It's one of my favorites. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. But an enemy multiplies kisses.
Wow.
Somebody tells you, oh, you're awesome. You're awesome. You're just perfect. You'll never be transformed.
That's right. That's right.
Someone said something to you in love, or maybe even maybe they said it wrong. But it's true, and it's a friend that says it. And it hurts. It cuts. Remember that sword? Oh, wounds from a friend. They can be trusted. Bro, I need to say something to you. We need to talk. You are awesome, but we need to talk. You go, man, I need to change this area of my life. And then you can be absolutely transformed. I remember when I studied sin and repentance. 23 years old. I'll be 40 in January. Big 4-0. Of course, that's okay. Most of you guys are way past that. But I remember, guys, I'd gone to church my whole life. But nobody ever sat down, took out the word, and put it up to my heart. Yeah, I see the grimaces going on. Right? Ah. And we looked at the list of sins, Galatians 5. Right?
Yeah.
Why don't we just go to Galatians 5?
Come on.
Galatians 5.
Right.
Verse 19.
No. Come on.
Galatians 5, verse 19, it says this. The acts of the sinful nature
are difficult to understand.
No.
See, Joe catches me. He makes sure I'm on the straight and narrow. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and you know it.
Yep.
Don't try to wiggle out of this one like a fish out of the boat.
Come on.
You know. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred. Discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. The Bible just lays it out, doesn't it?
Yep.
And the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Come on.
Right.
Wow. Do you believe this scripture?
Come on.
Yes, absolutely.
Wounds from a friend, right?
Right.
No one ever sat me down and showed me this. I've gone to church all my life and I was 23 years old. No friend had ever sat me down and wounded me with this. It looked more like my to-do list than a list of sins. But I was at church every Sunday. And they said, guys, this is sin. It's obvious. And they were open about their own life first. They said, let me be open about sexual immorality in my life. About my impurity, my debauchery. They said, now, Chris, how about you? And I so appreciated that. And I needed to talk. Because there was plenty of immorality. For a church going every Sunday young Christian man. So I thought. Plenty of immorality to talk about. Plenty of impurity. Plenty of it. Debauchery. This is the way the world lives. And then we just attend church on Sunday and we're okay. No, it's not okay. In this church, we cook it on up.
Come on, baby. Yes,
we do. We get out the heat and we get out the seasoning, amen?
Yes.
And we need it so desperately or we'll just be religious hypocrites.
All right.
Maybe you need to get open today.
Come on.
About your sin.
Preach.
And boy, you know it hurts in the moment. But it feels so good once you do. Once you do it. And for those of you that are Christians, I'm not just talking to our guests.
Come on.
Come on, God.
I'm talking to all of us.
Right.
Sin gets in there so quickly. You know, this week, I was so encouraged by so many members of the church. After church last week, I went in and my son had had a difficult class. You know? And one thing I appreciate, that's just not babysitting going on over there.
Come on.
But the teachers we have in there, we train them to develop relationships and get in there and help starting build a faith in our children. And my son hadn't had a good week. And Greg, or a good day over there. And my friend Greg grabbed me. He said, Austin, have a good day. I said, okay, let's three of us sit down. And parents, you be humble with the teachers.
Come on.
You need their eyes.
Yep.
And I said, Greg, help me. Sit us down. And Greg sat there with my 9-year-old, almost 10, and he laid it out to him. And he's great with him. He says, Austin, you're Austin. I'm so impressed. You're so mature in so many ways. But here's the thing that went wrong today. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm looking at Greg going, wow, that is awesome.
Yep.
You know?
Amen.
A couple days later, I got to sit down and do a discipleship study with the gentleman that I got to meet. Anthony was with me when we met him and her wife. We sat down and we taught him a lot of the scriptures we looked at today. And at the end of the study, he said, I want to be a disciple.
Yeah.
And Anthony said, I'd like to share some things. And Anthony started sharing. And I was just watching him. All right. This is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, man, he's right on. But this past week, there were also times where I had to wound Greg. Say, Greg, man, I need to help you right now. But times Anthony called me up and said, Chris, man, I'm furious right now. I need to talk.
Hello.
And then last night I had to grab Roger and this morning Kip on the phone, confess some sin of my own. I'm convinced. We got a room full of women and men right here. God can use us to help change this city and change this world.
That's right.
But nothing will take us out quicker than our own sin.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Our own sin.
Yep. Come on.
It could keep Greg from being so awesome with my son. It could keep Anthony from being so awesome with this lost soul.
Yep. That's right.
It could take me out even leaving this church. Sin will rip us down. And guys, we got to stop minimizing our sin.
Come on, Chris. Right.
I'm talking about mine and yours.
Yep.
Sin is that ugly stuff in the belly of that fish.
Come on.
That Roger likes to look at. We got to get in there and we got to look at it, guys. And I challenge you today, do not leave this service without grabbing somebody and getting out what's in your belly. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Come on.
In fact, that's one of the best analogies I ever heard about confessing sin. You know, sometimes We want to confess our sin and we want to get it out, but then we don't like hearing what the other person has to tell us.
Yeah.
We confess our sin, the other person's like, they encourage us, but then they want to call us to repentance.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't like it. And I've had people tell me, come on, man, I'm just trying to be open. One time, I think it was Steve Johnson, said, that's like throwing up all in my living room and telling me not to clean it up. It is nasty, and that's the point.
Yeah.
Our sin is nasty.
Yeah.
But we act like it's not. We got to get serious about the sin in our life. And when we confess it, we got to want relationships that are going to deal with us with the Word.
Amen.
That are going to cut us.
Yep.
And help us continue to get clean.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
We got to keep cooking because none of us have arrived just yet.
Right.
What are your spiritual dreams?
Come on.
One of the best ways to get dull spiritually is to not have any dreams.
Yeah.
And I've been there. Again, Teresa and I have confessed just how awesome it's been to be on the mission team. To get back into the mission with all our hearts of fishing for men.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I know we're out there. And we're planting seeds. We're watering it. And the harvest is coming.
Yep.
I'm so convicted how far away from that I got. Because fishers of men must go fishing.
That's right.
But how easy it is, we just sit at home. And we don't go out there. We got to catch them. We got to cut them. We got to clean them. And we got to cook them.
Come on.
A friend of mine wrote a song after learning some of these principles. And he called it Fish Today. And I'm just going to tell you the lyrics. It said, see the man with no address. Call to those upon the sea. Hey, stop what you're doing there. You fishermen, come follow me. And I will give you such a purpose. All else, you'll consider worthless. Love and hope will be your bait. Come, let's catch some fish today. Third verse went like this. I turn on the radio and I hear the Christian singer say, I reach people with my music. That's how I catch fish today. That's how I catch fish today. But those of us who hear his song, do we listen very long? Unless you teach them to obey, you can't catch a fish that way. You can't catch a fish that way. So fish today. Fish today. Come on. Grab your poles and say, fish today. Fish today. Come on. Before it's too late. Amen.